This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, which falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Well, I guess last Friday night worked out. Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner back with the Dodgers, although not official. We'll let you know why as we take you to 9 o'clock tonight on Off-Night Dodger Talk. Your phone calls can be heard yet again. You made a difference on Friday night. You let your voices be heard, and you could do that again tonight at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up at 8:40 tonight, Dodger historian Mark Langille will join us to talk about the new pop-up museum at Dodger Stadium. They kind of put one out there on the reserve level that has a lot of artifacts and memorabilia from Dodger past, and the Dodgers definitely want to maybe build one permanently, but for now, this is just as good. And if you want to visit this new museum at Dodger Stadium, you could go to dodgers.com/museum. So Mark Langille will join us at 8:40 to talk about what's going on inside that museum, what's there, and how you can enjoy it to the fullest. And that's some place that I really want to go, and I'm thinking about going before Thursday night show. So I really want to see it. I'm a big nostalgic baseball fan and love all the history of the Dodgers. And I actually saw a feature that Kelly Tennant did with Mark Langille on Sportsnet LA last night. And they actually have a turnstile from Old Ebbets Field. And they actually have a couple of seats that were inside Ebbets Field. So we'll ask Mark Langille about that. Now, I mentioned that the Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner signings are not official. The reason why I believe they have not been made official yet is, A, both guys are not in Los Angeles to take their physicals. Justin, like we talked about last week, was at Kenley Jansen's wedding in Curacao over the weekend, and Kenley is still back there right now. Eventually, both those guys will come to Los Angeles, I would imagine, at some point later this week or maybe next week, but that's one reason why these deals have not been made official by the Dodgers. Also, too, the Dodgers' 40-man roster is pretty full. They only have one spot available because when those two guys became free agents, they were no longer part of the 40-man roster, so they have to add those guys again. So they have 39 guys on their 40-man roster right now. They could get one of those two on there, but they have to make another deal. And it's no secret the Dodgers are trying to trade Scott Kazmir and or Brandon McCarthy, not only to get some payroll relief, but also to maybe free up some spots and maybe bring in players or pitchers that can be more useful, in their opinion, than Scott Kazmir and Brandon McCarthy can be. And I won't get into all the details surrounding Scott Kazmir's first season in Los Angeles, but I'll put it to you this way. Neither side really enjoyed it, so we'll see what happens. And Scott opted back in because he wasn't going to make $17 million this open market. I do think, though, he would have opted out if he finished the season healthy and had an ERA under 4. You look at the starting pitching on the free agent market, it's pretty thin out there, and he probably would have got something close to Rich Hill from another team that was desperate. But he's opted in, and the Dodgers are talking to the Seattle Mariners, among other teams, to try to trade Scott Kazmir before spring training. Now, in case you missed it yesterday, the news started to leak out that Kenley Jansen turned down offers from the Marlins and the Washington Nationals to re-sign with the Dodgers for 5 years and $80 million. And in case you were following me on Twitter, at @TheReal_DV, there were a lot of roller coaster up and downs with the way the Dodgers were feeling about their chances of re-signing Kenley and what his decision was going to be. The Marlins, from what I was told last week in Washington, D.C. at the winter meetings, their owner was the driving force behind offering Kenley a contract. A lot of their baseball operations people really were reluctant to have to forfeit their first-round draft pick to sign a closer when they probably are not going to contend for a division championship. And if they have a really healthy season, maybe could have been there for the wild card. But that was the other side of things inside the Marlins. And I think Kenley was a little skeptical about going to them if all things being equal with their situation and them not being close to winning after being part of four straight NL West championships with the Dodgers. Now, the Washington Nationals were offering more, and I think that technically it was more, but really $85 million and $80 million. I mean, we've talked about this a million times. Why not take $5 million less and be happy with where you're at? And luckily, Kenley Jansen had the right mindset and agreed. Why would I take $5 million that a lot of it was going to be backloaded and deferred and not take the $80 million where I'm comfortable and I know they're trying to win every year? And I think the Dodgers showed that again to you, that they are trying to win. Now, my question to you tonight is, A, were you surprised after what we talked about on Friday night that the Dodgers were able to bring back both Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner? Also, my question to you is, I know there's been a lot of doubters out there about the Dodgers' new front office. Does this put all the doubts away for you now that they've really shown that they're trying to have the urgency to bring a World Series championship back to Los Angeles? Because let's face it, they haven't signed a free agent since they've been here for more than $48 million, and here they are keeping their own, which I think speaks volumes, and Justin Turner for 4 years and $64 million, and bringing back Kenley Jansen for 5 years and $80 million. I think that says a lot, not only signing free agents, but signing your own, taking care of your own, because that sends a message to your other players that will be free agents, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but maybe 3 or 4 years down the line. Guys will remember this, that they did take care of their own, especially Kenley Jansen, who was drafted by the Dodgers, who was developed by the Dodgers, who was converted from a catcher to a pitcher by the Dodgers. I think this should put all the doubts aside from you about this Dodger front office and their commitment to winning. Also, too, I think it should be pointed out that it would be very naive for everybody just to swallow that Andrew Friedman did this all on his own. When you're committing the years and dollars to the players that they did, plus the years and dollars that they're adding on to their total payroll, you have to get the owner involved. And Mark Walter, I'm sure, was a driving force of encouragement to Andrew Friedman to get these deals done by any means, especially Justin Turner. I know Mark Walter really loved everything Justin did on and off the field, and I'm sure Dave Roberts was in his corner as well because of how big of an advocate and supporter Justin Turner was throughout the season, not only when things were good, but also when things were not so good. And when they traded A.J. Ellis, Justin Turner was there to really fill that void of a voice that people listened to in that clubhouse, along with Adrian Gonzalez and Clayton Kershaw. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. I guess I should also explain, too, on Thursday morning when I was leaving Washington, D.C., I actually did exchange texts with somebody from the Dodgers that was well aware of what was going on with the negotiations with Kenley Jansen. At that point in time, I tweeted that it was less likely the Dodgers were going to sign Kenley at that point in time, and I came on the air last Friday and explained that these free agent discussions are very fluid, and especially with a guy like Kenley Jansen, who is very committed and to Los Angeles and doesn't like change. But at that point in time, that's why I tweeted it, because I got it from a very good source from the Dodgers side of things that were feeling a little bit less optimistic about their chances. Now, on Monday morning, coincidentally, I tweeted, and then all of a sudden, the news started to leak out a half hour after I tweeted what I did. I tweeted on Monday morning because I spoke to somebody very close to Kenley that gave me indications that he was going to sign back with the Dodgers, And that's why I tweeted that the Dodgers were very much in play. I wasn't privy at that point in time to break the story that he was coming back to the Dodgers, but all indications were pointing to him re-signing, and then all the news started to leak out. Now, as far as Justin Turner goes, I don't think it's breaking news that he's re-signing with the Dodgers. I think it would have been breaking news if he would have signed with another team, because everybody just assumed that he wanted to be here very badly. The Dodgers valued him very highly, so if they weren't able to come to a deal, that would have sent a bad message to the other guys in that clubhouse and just moving forward. So they knew Justin wanted to be here. There's no reason to drag this out and leave a bad taste in his mouth. And I don't think he has a bad taste in his mouth right now. 4 years, $64 million. And I reported at the beginning of this free agent process that he and his representatives wanted to eclipse the 3 years and $37 million that Daniel Murphy got from the Nationals a year ago at this time, and he certainly did that. And I believe that he had a better season than Daniel Murphy had in his final year with the Mets. Yeah, Daniel Murphy was a great playoff performer. Well, look at Justin Turner's numbers as well in the postseason. He's pretty darn good as well and has been part of three consecutive NLS championships. The Dodgers, of course, have won four straight. So that's where we are. That's the questions I have for you. I think the doubts should be put aside now, whatever they were, if there were any lingering doubts about this front office's commitment to not only winning divisions, but winning the World Series. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, and also we'll get into what's next for the Dodgers in the offseason. What's their highest priority? I'll let you know who they're talking to and who possibly could be in the mix for second base. David Vassay, Nissan Dodger Talk until 9 o'clock tonight on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
David Vassay, Nissan Dodger Talk until 9 o'clock tonight on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Hope everybody's having a great holiday season. And Andrew Friedman turned out to be Dodger fan Santa Claus. Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen will be back for the Dodgers in 2017 and beyond. 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Our next Dodger Talk will be this Thursday night at our normal time, 7 to 8 o'clock. You won't have to sit through another show between Petros and Money and this one to hear Nissan Dodger Talk on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. At 8:40 tonight, you will hear from Dodger historian Mark Langell to tell us about the new historical museum at Dodger Stadium that you can visit by going to dodgers.com/museum. And also, I will let you know about the Dodgers' discussions about a second baseman, their next priority. But first, we got phone calls, and I know everybody after last Friday night is very relieved they don't have to decide between Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner, who both were in Curacao celebrating Kenley's nuptials along with Scott Van Slyke and Yasiel Puig. Let's go out to Simi Valley, a long way from Curacao. Todd, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vassay. Hi, Todd.
Dude, David, I was wrong. Me and you both went with Justin Turner the other day, but
well, we were right. They brought him back. They brought him and Kenley back.
Well, you know, they brought him back, and it just shows how in we are as a ball club. And, you know, the tax, new CBA doesn't go into effect till next year. So we're only paying, I think it's $3 million more that we're over. But, you know, I really hope we go out and get a Brian Dozier, because everyone's talking about pitching prospects and all this stuff and getting rid of for a big starting pitcher. But what we really need is a second baseman with some right-handed power, and Dozier fits that mold. And, from what I've been hearing, Jose De Leon or Brock Stewart might be in that deal, but that's okay to give up with. You know, I think that's what we need. But the big thing is Kenley and JT.
Yeah, definitely. And last week at the winter meetings, I was told Jose De Leon was mentioned by the Twins when the Brian Dozier trade talks really got to the next level. And I'm not sure whether or not the Dodgers are willing to part with him. If you ask me personally, I would be, but I could tell you this as well. The Dodgers are not only looking at Dozier, but I think Ian Kinsler is still in play. So is Logan Forsythe from the Tampa Bay Rays. And talking to a couple of managers in the American League in Washington, D.C. last week, they actually told me that they think Logan Forsythe is a better all-around player than Brian Dozier. But it's hard to argue with 42 home runs, and the Dodgers could definitely get a boost offensively if they do get either one of those two guys or even Kinsler. And, you know, I know it was reported publicly that the Dodgers are on his no-trade list. I'm not sure how accurate that is. Let's go out to Rancho Cucamonga. Anthony, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vass. Say hi, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Just enjoying a Tuesday night. What do you got?
Yeah, I can imagine. Same as the call before. I'm just curious as to who we got to play second base. And
well, let me turn the tables on you. Would you be willing to part with Jose De Leon in a package for a guy like Brian Dozier?
Absolutely, because we have depth. We already have depth. We have Hung Jin Ryu coming back. We have
don't hold your breath.
We're great on depth. I think we need an offensive catalyst, especially in the postseason. Because always in the postseason, all we had was Seager and Turner. That's all we had. We need some offense, man. Our pitching is great. All we need is some offense, man. That's all I got. Thanks, Dave.
All right, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, Anthony. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, welcome back.
Dry on those deals, Dave-o.
What's that, Manuel? You were kind of in sell hell.
I was just asking if the ink is dry on those two deals for
it's drying as
GP, the Red Samurai.
Yeah, like I mentioned, they are not official yet. Both guys, from what I understand, have to take their physicals, and then also the Dodgers have to make some room on their 40-man roster to make it official.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's the way Los Angeles feels. Thank you, Manuel. You were a very good spokesman for the rest of Dodger Nation out there. I don't know why I just said that. I hate using that Dodger Nation. There's only one nation. That's Raider Nation. There's no Laker Nation. There's no Dodger Nation. It's just Raider Nation. You're Dodger fans, Dodger fan base. Let's go out to Rancho Cucamonga. Paul, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up?
Hey, Dave. I don't know if you remember my call when we were having that debate between Turner and Kenley, and I said they're both good contracts, so we should sign them both and go ahead and get rid of the bad contracts next year. I'm just so happy that the organization did this, because with the attendance records that we break year after year, the money that we pump into that team, that Time Warner deal that they had, these are not bad contracts. I'm glad they signed both these players. They're going to eat it this year, and we'll deal with their money and the luxury tax down the road.
All right, Paul, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, you know, I think I prefaced that whole question to you on Friday night was that we both want Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner back. We all wanted that to happen, but we weren't sure if it was possible. And luckily, Dodger ownership really drove the boat here along with Andrew Friedman to make this happen and make these financial commitments to really two good guys, not only players, but two really good guys to have in a Dodger uniform. And I still maintain if they had to choose between one or the other, I would have kept Justin Turner because, like I mentioned on Friday night, if you look at the history of Dodger third baseman since Ron Say left the Dodgers, it's basically been a position that has been in flux every year up until, I would say, maybe Todd Zeal, Casey Blake for 2 years. But Justin Turner, in my opinion, have had the two best consecutive seasons for the Dodgers at third base since Adrian Beltre. Ron Say, Adrian Beltre, and Justin Turner are probably the three best third basemen that have played for the Dodgers in the last 30 years. But look at the closers, too. They've always found a way to find capable closers. And yes, Kenley Jansen is on another level, but I still believe the Dodgers could have found another closer that would have been pretty good. Obviously, there wasn't, and obviously the dollars were so close when you read the breakdowns of what guys were getting and how much Kenley is getting on an average annual salary of only $16 million, it makes sense. If why save $3 million on a guy that's going to be a step or two below Kenley? Just pay the extra $3 million and get the guy that you want. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Coming up at 840, Dodger historian Mark Langell will join us. Let's go out to San Diego. Pablo, or is this Paolo? Paolo, you're on with David.
It's Paolo, yeah. It's
I knew it. Pablo. I knew it.
How are you, David? Listen, you know. By the way, do you know how much these people hate me here in San Diego, talking about the Raider Nation? Not only am I a Dodger fan and a Raider fan, they hate me like they have no idea.
Well, I'm happy the Raiders got the Chargers this week because they need a win.
Listen, this was a great Christmas present. Although, you know, the icing of the cake it would be to get, Dodger. And if I want, one step further, even, Quintana. But I would be very, very happy with Dodger, not only because he hits very well against, left-hander batter. So that would be pitching. I'm sorry, I should say. That would be a great addition. And also, we need to upgrade the bullpen. There were rumors about Greg Holland. I'm not sure about that because, when you talk about, closer, they've been kind of demoted, so to speak, to the setup man. If you look back at Drew Storen of the National and Brandon League, who was a Dodger, they were both closer. And then they set him up, to be they were a total disaster. So we need to upgrade, the bullpen. Maybe Greg Holland would be a great addition, but I don't know if we can do that. But anyway, this was great Christmas present, and I'm hoping to sign, Dodger, and that would be, the icing of the cake. Listen, I wish you a very, very happy holidays, and we'll see you in spring training, my friend.
All right, Paolo, grazie. Buona Natale.
Ciao, buona Natale, ciao.
All right, there we go. A good Italian paisan right there in San Diego. Paolo, a big Dodger fan and plus Raider fan, so I like him even more. He's got the three check marks. He's Italian. He loves the Raiders and especially loves the Dodgers. And he's got a great restaurant down there I got to try out when the Dodgers go play the Padres in San Diego. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. And, yeah, Paolo brought up a good point. The other priority for the Dodgers, I'm sure, is to add to that bullpen. They're losing J.P. Howell. They may or may not lose Joe Blanton. He's a free agent. I'm not sure what he's commanding at this point. But if it's a double than what he made from a year ago, I'm not sure the Dodgers bring him back for $8 million. They got him for $4 million last offseason, and they used him quite a bit. Greg Holland would not surprise me. Nothing will surprise me now after the Dodgers brought back Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner for these contracts. So Greg Holland's coming off injury. He hasn't pitched in a year. But he was really good when he was on, and even if his fastball is not 95, 96, if he can pitch, he can get outs. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Mission Viejo, Joe. And by the way, when I say pitch, Pedro Baez has got to learn how to pitch and not be a thrower this offseason. Joe, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up, Joe?
Not much, Dave. I just wanted to say, as a season ticket holder, I'm real happy that they re-signed all three of our free agents. And I got a couple questions. One, I was wondering how Willie Calhoun plays out into the second base scenario. And then if the Dodgers were to really hit a home run and put it over the top, I think it'd be totally awesome if we could get Archer and Forsythe.
Wow.
Nice trade.
Yeah, you would have to give up a lot, Joe. And I don't think the Dodgers would be willing to do that at this point in time. Everybody, including Andrew Friedman, have talked about continuing to develop their young players and not trade those guys away so they can have sustainable success. And Archer is a good young pitcher, yes. Forsythe, good second baseman, 20 home runs, good defensively, good all-around player. I'm just not sure the Dodgers would be willing to go that far for what it would take to get both those guys. And I just believe the Dodgers definitely have to find a way to improve that bullpen, and that will be the final piece to getting them over the hump to the World Series, because if you look at the way things played out in the NLCS, yeah, Kenley Jansen was great, but it was the bullpen that really let the Dodgers down yet again in the postseason, and they were out of gas because they had to use so many guys because their starters did not go deep into games during the regular season. And Dusty Baker actually pointed that out after he was eliminated in Game 5. He said it's fine the way they use Kershaw and Jansen, but it may come back to bite them in the next round, and it kind of did. Kershaw was out of gas mentally and physically and emotionally, and Joe Blanton was out of gas as well. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We're going to take another timeout here. When we come back, more of your phone calls, and also Dodger historian Mark Langell will join us as we take this to 9 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
This is off-season Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Coming up will be Dodger historian Mark Langell. The phone lines are open at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. The Dodgers reportedly have come to agreements with Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner. Nothing official yet because, A, the Dodgers don't have the 40-man roster spots to put both guys on at this point, and also too, both guys were in Curacao for Kenley's wedding, which took place on Saturday, and I've seen Justin Turner's Instagram. He's in Jamaica right now, so they haven't been able to come back for their physicals either, I would assume, to make this official, which I'm sure is fine with Andrew Friedman, who has a lot of things in the air right now, trying to maneuver and manipulate his roster. Hopefully Andrew will grace us with his presence on Thursday night to talk about these things. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Hopefully Andrew Friedman's not on the plane to Dubai. That's where Adrian Gonzalez and Dave Roberts are right now. They're heading to Dubai on an Emirates plane to be part of a baseball clinic for the kids out there in Dubai. So they're enjoying that and will be out there for a week. So they got Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner back. They can relax, sit back, and enjoy that plane flight on Emirates to Dubai. Let's go out to Whittier. Jesse, you're on with David Vasse. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. Just like everybody else, I'm excited about the re-signing. But I have a question about what's going on with Alex Wood. I mean, a few years ago, he was a potential ace for the Atlanta Braves lineup, and he was that lineup was pretty strong, so I want to know if he just lost it or is he...
No, he got injured, and I don't know if he'll ever live up to that ace kind of billing that he was getting or hype he was getting in Atlanta. But I could tell you this, he's a fierce competitor, never wants the ball taken out of his hand, and will show up every time his start is there up until last year. And the Dodgers will basically decide in spring training whether or not he's going to be part of the rotation, or is he going to be a valuable piece in the bullpen? 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to San Fernando. Oscar, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, Dave. I was a little confused. I wasn't sure if I was calling into Raider Talk or Dodger
Hey.
Talk.
Hey, it's the NFL season. I'm just saying there was a fan that called in. I'm a Raider fan, an L.A. Raider fan. I grew up going to the Coliseum when I was a kid, and I still like them.
I get it, but actually Dodger Nation is stronger than you ever think.
I just don't like it is, but I don't like calling it Dodger Nation.
Okay, let's make up a crafty name, but here's what I wanted to talk to you about, man. Awesome show, by the way. I look up to you a lot, and you bring up the most up and current information on what we have for the Dodgers. But I wanted to talk about Calhoun. Everybody talks about going out to the Twins and getting a second baseman or wherever else they want to look at, but we have the best farm system that we've ever built in the last 10 years. I mean, we bring up Calhoun, I think we'll be fine. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Willie Calhoun can really hit the baseball. He's a really good hitter, but he had struggles playing defensively at second base, and you got to be strong up the middle defensively in the big leagues, and that's something the Dodgers really prided themselves on the last couple of years to improve their defense, and they've become one of the best defensive teams, not only as far as fielding percentage, limiting errors, but also defensive efficiency. Now, maybe they could do wonders with positioning Willie Calhoun to be a better second baseman defensively, but he still needs seasoning to get better. And I think it would be a mistake to rush him up to the big leagues because he can hit, but he can't play defense. Remember Jose Offerman? Yeah, the guy that made 40 errors when the Dodgers called him up to play a position up the middle when he wasn't ready defensively, but he could hit. I think Willie Calhoun falls in that same category until he can prove he could play defensively at second base, and he has time. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, but we will get to your phone calls in just a moment because we are graced by one of the most loyal Dodger employees out there and a man that has devoted his life and is the curator of the Dodgers' history, and that's their team historian, Mark Langell. Hi, Mark.
David, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And I want to make sure I'm saying this right. Pop-up museum, just a museum. Did you borrow J.P. Howell's trailer to put this museum in it? What's going on? What is the right name? Blue Museum? What is it?
Well, it is a pop-up museum. Janet Marie Smith, our vice president of stadium development, decided that would be the perfect name as a temporary placeholder because normally fans on the reserve level are used to going to a gift store. But if they were to go there now through March, they're able to see a temporary museum with a great, great assortment of Dodger artifacts, both past and present.
Now, my other question is, are you there during all operating hours to be there for the fans?
Any excuse I can get up there, David, it's a pleasure to be up there because you just wander and it's just like a quilt and so many layers, kind of like the Matrix. You just look around and there's so many connected dots, just looking at all the artifacts, all the eras, Brooklyn and Los Angeles. I love spending time up there.
You could get tickets to visit the museum at Dodgers.com/museum. And I actually saw the feature Kelly Tennant did with you last night on Sportsnet LA, Mark. And you did show there was a turnstile from Ebbets Field. Is that the oldest memorabilia or relic or piece of history in the museum?
I would say so, because Ebbets Field was built in 1913, and that came from the collection of Gary Cypress, who so graciously has just carved a little slice of his great memorabilia collection. A big-time Brooklyn Dodger fan as a kid, and we have benefited from that. Not only does he have that Ebbets Field entrance, but Wes Parker, the former first baseman who won 6 gold gloves from 67 to 72, right when he was walking out of the museum, he turned and he looked at a heavy overcoat and he said, "I have never seen that before." And Gary smiled and said, "That's because that's the only one he knows of existence." And it's from the mid-1940s when the Dodgers trained in Bear Mountain, New York during World War II. And the temperature, just imagine for spring training, you're used to Florida and Arizona trying to train at a military base under 30 and 40 degree temperatures and the snow as well because the train travel was restricted back then.
That's incredible. Now, I saw some things of Jackie Robinson in the museum. What would you say to you is the most special piece of history that fans can see from Jackie Robinson?
I'd say that whole body of work, because if you look in the 1940s, you can see the timeline, the newspaper headlines from in the beginning where it was supposed to be this great experiment and wondering in 1945 if the country was ready for integration. In 1946, Montreal, he's on the cover of a magazine with another African-American teammate, Johnny Wright. By 1947, he's Rookie of the Year. And then by 1948, you can see all the merchandise. Suddenly, it's a success, and Jackie Robinson comic books and toys and things like that. So you can see in that short span of time, first off, the question, could Jackie do it? And then on the wall, you see the great historical headlines that he did do it, barnstorming tour jackets, awards, and everything like that, along with other mementos from Jackie's Boys of Summer era when he played from 1947 through 1956.
Dodger historian Mark Langell is our guest. There's a new pop-up museum with a lot of Dodger history inside of it at Dodger Stadium that you can see by going to Dodgers.com/museum. Now, I've heard that a lot of current and former players have donated some of their own personal memorabilia, jerseys, bats. Is there one that really stands out? I saw a photo of Steve Garvey holding up Gil Hodges' jersey, which meant a lot, too, because Steve was a bat boy, as you know, for the Boys of Summer in Vero Beach. What have some players donated that have blown you away?
Well, one of the neat things is Fernando Valenzuela, one of the hardest things to do is to get him to talk about Fernando Mania, yeah, 1981, because he's so modest. He's like Harpo Marx. Fernando, five shutouts in your first eight games. Were you tough? Was it nervous? And he may give you a shoulder shrug, and that's about it. He won't say in terms of emotion, but what was really neat was Lon Rosen, one of our vice presidents, had approached Fernando, and would you be willing to lend something for the museum? And Fernando brought out of mothballs. He didn't have it on display in his home. It was carefully preserved, though, his Cy Young Award.
Wow.
So how great for Fernando to bring that Cy Young Award from 1981, which also was his Rookie of the Year season. And Mike Brito visited today, and a picture of Mike Brito with the radar gun, and just a few feet over, his prized pupil from 1981 and that Cy Young Award. And so that's the nice thing when guys are offering a personal memento. And one of the other things that is really going to get people is to see Vin Scully's last headset from that last game in San Francisco on October the 2nd, and a replica of the plaque that the Giants dedicated in their broadcasting booth. And so you've got the old Vin as far as 1966, a Union Oil portrait poster when they had records at the gas station. You can see the banner that says, "I'll miss you," and also from that last game in San Francisco. So a little bit of Scully, a little bit of Brooklyn, Los Angeles, the current players, pretty much something for all generations to enjoy.
Yeah, that's really special. I know the fans really want to see a piece of Vin Scully because he means so much to this Dodger fan base. 67 years coming to an end in 2016, but his legacy lives on. A great example is this pop-up museum where you could see it at Dodger Stadium on the reserve level, but you need tickets. And to get tickets, you go to dodgers.com/museum. Dodger historian Mark Langell is our guest. And before I let you go, Mark, there is one piece of Dodger history that I know is not in that museum. And I'm wondering if you are hot on the trail of the baseball Kirk Gibson hit in Game 1 of the 1988 World Series into the right field pavilion, because that has still not really surfaced. There have been some imitations, but not the authentic ball. What do you know about the baseball that Gibson hit that night?
The thing I love about that story is about 2 minutes after the game was over, there's no way that that ball could have been authenticated because, according to the late April Thompson, who was a longtime usherette at the ballpark, the person who caught that ball immediately ran out and took it with him. And back then, there wasn't such a thing as holograms or anything like that to authenticate. I like the fact that it's kind of like a mystery, one of those Hemingway, it's got lost in the sea of people type things. And so there should be a little bit of mystery. And in that biggest home run as far as Kirk Gibson, how cool is it that we're still talking about it? Because we all know that he hit the homer off of Dennis Eckersley, but everybody has that fascination. Where is the baseball? And because of the magnitude of that home run, everybody still wants to know, where is that ball? Where's the ball? And does the person that had the ball even know the significance?
Yeah, why do you think it's never shown up, especially since so many people sell memorabilia for so much money now?
I think it's the same thing. You go back to 1951, Ralph Branca just passed away, Bobby Thompson, the shot heard around the world. The next day when the World Series started, Bobby Thompson got a knock on the door and said, "Here's the ball that you hit." And Bobby graciously accepted it, but then he put it next to the 13 others next to his locker because he'd had that knock on the door all morning. And so I think that's natural. Everybody has a story, and you just can't be sure. Once it leaves the ballpark, it would be so hard to authenticate it, because back then, was there an infrared code or anything like that? It wasn't like they threw out the ball and put in a special one in play if somebody was going for a record. You know, Gibson kept fouling off pitches and everything like that. And when you look at the NBC telecast, you don't necessarily see who catches the ball. You see the mass of people jumping up and down, but you don't see one person holding the ball in the air. And so that adds to the mystery, too. People tried to do the grids and things like that, and there have been mystery shows, people trying to track stuff down. I know who has it, the garage. I gave it to a girlfriend. She doesn't have it anymore. We broke up. I don't know if she has it, everything like that. And so it just makes for a great story. How many years has it been, and we still wonder where that ball is?
Mark Langell, Dodger historian, thank you so much for sharing some of the information and the stories that really surround everything inside the new Dodger pop-up museum at Dodger Stadium. You could get tickets at dodgers.com/museum, and if you're lucky, Mark will be there to really feed your head with more Dodger history information. So thank you so much, Mark.
My pleasure, David, and happy holidays to both you and your family.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. And I was not told to put Mark on the show. I truly am interested in this museum. And if you're a Dodger fan, you got to go there. It's going to be there, from what I understand, until March during spring training. And I plan on going, hopefully, Thursday before I come in for the show on Thursday night, which will be at 7 o'clock. Let's go out to Huntington Beach. Charles, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Charles.
David, what's the word on Trace Thompson? The guy hit it out of the park early in the season, hurt his back, didn't hear anything about him since. So I was wondering if he's going to be coming back. He sure could use his power and his speed.
You know, it's funny, Charles. It's funny you brought up his name, because Trace was going to come in studio with me on Thursday night, but he had some plans that he couldn't move around, but he's going to come in after the new year. But he is still not doing baseball activities, from what I understand, but his back has healed. He's doing training and all that other stuff, so he should be ready for spring training. And he is a significant part of the Dodgers' outfield plans, especially against left-handed pitching and certain right-handers.
So with the loss of Scott Van Slyke, or
there's no loss. He's back. They re-signed him. He's back.
Okay. So is Carl Crawford still around? Or
no, he's long gone. He's long gone.
So who's our outfield looking like then for this season, with Trace potentially spot playing or potentially taking a full-time spot?
Well, that's up to him, Charles. Thanks for the phone call. Right now, I would say he's a platoon player. And I think left field will be a platoon situation. I don't think Yasiel Puig proved that he was anything more than a platoon player when he came back from the minor leagues. Maybe they will give him another chance. He is supposedly also coming to Dodger Stadium beginning in January to work with Dodger strength and conditioning coach Brandon McDaniel. So right now, I would say the names that are involved in the Dodger outfield as constituted is Yasiel Puig, Andre Ethier, Jock Peterson, Scott Van Slyke, Trace Thompson, Andrew Tolles, and I think that's a full boat of outfielders right now. I think that's more than you can handle, but we've said that each of the last 3 years, and when it comes time, they're needing those all six or seven outfielders. But, yeah, Carl Crawford is physically gone, but some of his salary is still on the books, which will be gone after this year. I miss Carl. He was so honest that he was the funniest guy in the clubhouse, because he never let anything back and really didn't have a filter, which is refreshing in this day and age of political correctness. I always love being around Carl Crawford, and he's a good guy. His legs took a beating on that turf at Tropicana Field in that dump in Tampa Bay, and he paid for it. And I loved him every time he stepped on the field with the Dodgers. He gave 100%. Unfortunately, his time was done. He was getting up there in age, and his legs had a lot of miles on him. So my best wishes to Carl, if he's listening, which I doubt he is. Also want to send best wishes out to Alan Thicke and his family. Unfortunately, Alan passed away today. He was a huge Dodger fan, showed up at countless Dodger games and participated in the celebrity softball games and baseball games going back to the 80s when he was a big star in Groin Pain. So my condolences to his family, and obviously the Dodgers want to send out their condolences as well. So rest in peace, Alan Thicke. Your legacy will live on forever as well. Hopefully Groin Pains comes back on MeTV soon. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio. Thanks to Mark Langell, Dodger historian, for coming on the show tonight. If you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com or iTunes. Plus, want to remind you, Dodger Talk back on this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Have a great night, everybody.